Today, we are reading from the book of Psalm, chapter 22, the whole chapter. And we are reading from the New International Version of the Bible. I'm reading from verse 1 to 17. Sister Claire will do the rest. Verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the root of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my head and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me.
Sister. Verses 18 to 31. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength, Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All your descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all your descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember the and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rest of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. As I shared with you last week, ever since I went into the hospital and I was there for 40 days, I started reading the Psalms with greater fervor. And last week I shared with you how Psalm 40 has become the new song in my own life. Why do I like the Psalms so much? Or why have they been such a source of inspiration for me? I mentioned this last week. But I think it is because there's an honesty in the Psalms that I often don't see in our other kind of aspects of faith or in the cycle of life at church. The Psalms provide a guide to speaking to God in different seasons of life and acknowledges them. The Psalms show us that we can be honest with God, and they teach us that it is important to reflect on what God has done for us. I think there's a very important place for lament within the Christian life. Too quickly, we usher people like a conveyor belt, you know, from something that is painful to talking about, you know, the hope and the glorious, you know, resurrection. And we don't allow people to experience their grief. And I think this is a mistake. Before Easter Sunday, there was Good Friday and a very dark Saturday in between, isn't there? It's not instantaneous. Yes, there will be joy, but there is a time for sadness as well. If you look at the book of Revelation, chapter 5, when John sees a vision of God on his throne, and that despite the chaos of this world, that God actually is still in charge, he sees a vision of the Lamb. Are you guys familiar with this passage? And what does this Lamb look like? Looks like it's been slain, doesn't it? I've always thought that was so interesting because, you know, this is heaven, angels, harps, singing. But what happened to Jesus and his wounds are still visible, aren't they? And so I think we must take seriously the hurt and pain and wounds of people around us and ourselves. And I think we ignore them to our peril because this is part of the gifts that God has given us in a mysterious kind of way. Today we're looking at Psalm 22. And in it, you kind of see a very honest person crying out to God, don't you? He's saying things like, God, where are you? God, I am hurting. God, you're helping everyone else but me. I know we've all felt these, you know, this way. But do you give voice to your complaint? Do you allow yourself to be honest with what you're feeling? Theodicy is the theological word for the problem of pain. Where is God when it hurts? Why do bad things happen to good people? What is the purpose of pain? I don't think this psalm answers that question, but what it does is it acknowledges its existence. It acknowledges its existence. Now, I am not very good at biology, although if you look deep into my past, I do have an undergraduate degree in biology. Those days are long past. But you know, there is a function, a physiological function for pain, the physical pain. It's hard to believe, but people who have the disorder of not being able to feel pain actually do very badly in life, don't they? Because, you know, if your hand is on the stove, you won't feel it. Or if you're stepping on glass, you won't feel it, leading to some greater disease, some greater injury. I don't dare to explain away the pain, the existence of pain. But I think that if physical pain can have some benefits, you know, maybe, you know, if physical pain can remind us that something is wrong, that we need to take notice, maybe emotional pain can serve a similar purpose of letting us know that actually not everything is right in this world, and that there are some things about which we need to notice. I've always been drawn to C.S. Lewis, the Christian writer, and his perspective on pain. Lewis tasted pain in ways that not all of us can relate to. He lost his mother at an early age. He saw his dad emotionally abandon him. He suffered from a respiratory illness as a teenager. He fought and was wounded in World War I. And finally, he had to bury his own beloved wife. And he talks about this in the book Shadowlands. And also in a book he wrote called The Problem of Pain. and in this work which I recommend to you. He said this. He said, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, and he speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Okay, this is what Lewis is saying. I don't know if I agree completely, but it sounds like he's onto something. Because we are most keenly aware of God's character in our suffering. It is when our own self-sufficiency is peeled away that we see how weak we really are. And it is in those moments of weaknesses, as God tells Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that my power is made perfect in weakness. And it is in our pain that God has us taste his power most intimately. Philip Yancey, another Christian writer, he wrote a book called Where Is God When It Hurts? And he said this. He says, when I stub my toe or twist an ankle, pain loudly announces to my brain that something is wrong. Similarly, he says, the existence of suffering on this earth is a scream to all of us that we need to consider some other values. When we look at the psalm that we're looking at today, there's actually a psalm in three parts. Verse 1 to verse 11 is what we call a lament. So it is complaining. If you look at verse 1, he says, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, and am not silent. And then he says, but you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. Everyone praises you, Lord. Our forefathers trusted in you. Okay? They cried out to you and were saved. See, what is the psalmist saying here? He's saying, everyone sings songs about your deliverance, but what about me? Okay. I am hurting, and you're not here. That's what he says. And then you go down to verse 9. He says, you are the one who brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. And from my birth I was cast upon you. And from my womb you have been my God. Okay, what is the psalmist saying here? He's saying that you made me this way. Okay? You brought me into this world. And now where are you, Lord? Okay, so there's not a lot of theology here. This guy's just complaining, isn't he? But that arises out of a real experience that he has. As I will talk about in the sermon, though, our perception does not always correspond with reality. And that is why faith is our anchor. Okay, so it's okay to feel lost. It is okay to feel weak. But you must know that what you feel might not actually be what's happening right now. Okay? You feel that God is far off. But maybe the reality that he's closer than you think. From verse 12 onwards to verse 18, you have a continuation of the lament into a prayer for deliverance. Okay, so if you look at verse 12 here, he talks about bulls encircling him. He talks about lions tearing at their prey. He talks about his enemies who want to hurt him. Okay, and in verse 16, you have the imagery of dogs. He's being surrounded by these wild dogs. And so, in the first section, he talks about how he feels that God has abandoned him. And now, he's listing the reasons why he feels this way, isn't he? He's talking about his present predicament, and he's going on and on about it. He says, Lord, I have lost my courage. My strength is gone. I feel fatigue, humiliation, and danger. He goes on to talk about this. And then in verses 19 to 21, he asks God to deliver him from these things. So if you have your Bible or if you can look on the screen, look at verse 20 and 21. He says, deliver my life from the sword of his enemies. Deliver my precious life from the power of the what? The dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the what? Lions. And save me from the horns of the wild oxen. See, these are all the things that he was complaining about before, you see. So his complaint is very lengthy, okay? But the prayer is very short and sweet. Save me from my enemies, from the dogs, from the lions, from the cows. But I want you to look at verse 19. What's going to make this better? And this is what I want to say to you today. But you, O Lord, be not far off. This is a prayer of a child who says, if only my daddy is here, that everything's okay. I think at the heart of this psalm, in addition to all these things he's feeling from the outside, he feels that God is distant. And that if only God is near, that things would be okay. If you were here last Sunday, you know I talked about Psalm 40, right? And how I said I was disappointed because I wish that the psalm would have a happy ending. Psalm 40 has a bad ending because it ends with him saying, Lord, hurry up, I'm still in trouble. So Psalm 40 was a stock chart, okay? It would start out really high, okay, and it would close, okay, at the end of the market, really low, okay. But Psalm 22, praise the Lord, is the opposite, okay. It begins in the depths of despair. And if you look at verse 22 and onwards here, it ends on a note of praise. It's the opposite of Psalm 40, isn't it? And so what I want to say to you is when we read the Psalms, no single psalm is kind of the normative thing for everyone's life. There are different seasons of life and there are different situations and circumstances. And I think that's what it's about. If you look at verse 22, he says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you because you have listened to my cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. Okay. So, in verse 22, it turns from complaint and lament to prayer to thanksgiving. If we read on, you'll know that he says, all you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Why? Because I'm going to tell them about what God has done. In verse 25, he says, the theme of my praise, I will sing your praise in the midst of the great assembly. You see what has happened? Very miraculous. What began as the crisis and a personal tragedy has turned into a communal inspiration for praise, isn't it? God can turn our private moments of sadness and grief into something greater, into a communal event, into something that brings faith to people and glory to God. If we look at this last section, how does the psalmist respond to God's deliverance? Well, I think there are two things. One, it's praise, which has to do with proclaiming what God has done. And the second thing is obedience. And this is actually quite similar, isn't it, to last week's psalm. This is the response to what God has done, praise and obedience. If you look at this psalm here, let me find the verse here. If you look at verse 27 and 28, let me read for you. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion, look at this, verse 18, belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. What is he saying here? He's saying that out of this tragedy, I'm reminded once again that God is in charge. Dominion belongs to the Lord. He is still in charge. And he's still in control. The question we have to ask as we read the psalm is God really absent? Okay. When we feel that he's absent, is he really absent? Psalm 22 belongs to a classification of psalms called the Laments. And there's actually a whole bunch of these psalms within the Psalter. Some of you know that I study the New Testament, okay, and I especially enjoy looking at the connection between the Old and New Testament. Psalm 22 appears in the New Testament. Do you know where? On the lips of Jesus on the cross. And this, I think, is very interesting. I hope you will think it's interesting too, which is, Jesus on the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some theologians have taken that to mean that Jesus is disappointed and he thinks God has abandoned him. I think those people don't know the Psalms very well. Because how does this psalm end? Does it end with defeat? It ends kind of with this prayer of trust which says, I will declare your praise in the great assembly, and your dominion will be established, doesn't it? And so Jesus wasn't just complaining, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows in his heart that the story does not end there. You know what I'm saying? Because my God, why have you forsaken me is the lyrics of a song which ends with God's triumph over his problems, over his enemies, and even over death. What is the solution to the problem of pain? I don't have the solution. But looking at the Bible, I know what God did was that God does not sit idly by and watch us from afar. And He does not watch us suffer in isolation. What God did is He became one of us. Thus, in Jesus, God gives us an up-close and personal look at His response to human suffering. That is the giving of Himself. And so for those of us who are mourning and sad this morning, let the cross remind us that we are not alone, despite our perceptions and despite how we feel. Our Heavenly Daddy, our Father, is not far off, but He's here. And through the cross, we know that He entered into where we are, and He suffers along with us. Let us pray as Jesus did. My God, why have you forsaken me? But let us read to the end of the psalm, which is that God is firmly in control, and we will see His sovereign rule and reign in one way or another. And for us, this hope ends in the resurrection of Jesus, doesn't it? The story doesn't end with the cross. It ends with the resurrection. And God will have the final say. And this is the comfort for the psalmist today. And so for those of us who have tears in our eyes, and for those of us who are in need of comfort, okay, let's not rush too fast to the resurrection. But let us know that it is there. And that one day God will have His way. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, where are you when it hurts? We thank you for Jesus and the gospel. Because in it, we know that you did not just give us wisdom to deal with pain, but Lord, you gave us yourself. And so, Lord, it is your presence that we pray that we might experience most fully now. And Lord, we thank you for this psalm and for what you're teaching us through Jerry and by your Spirit today. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen.